Nigel told her that no one had been available to fix his visual equipment, although he might be able to do it himself, he said, given access to the right components, discs, and repair tutorials, so he had come back here, relying on the infrared, to pick up the remains of the shattered and completely unneeded incubator. He thanked her for her interest and introduced himself to her friends. "Nice to meet you, Nige," Eddie said. "But you'll want to get started on those repairs, I ken it, so we won't keep you." Eddie's voice was pleasant, and he'd reholstered his gun, but he kept his hand on the butt. In truth, he was a little bit freaked by the resemblance Nigel bore to a certain messenger robot in the town of Colibrin Sturgis. That one had held a grudge. "No, stay," Roland said. "We may have chores for you, but for the time being, I'd as soon you were quiet. Turned off if it please you. And if it doesn't," his tone implied.
"Certainly, Si," Nigel replied in his plummy British accent. "You may reactivate me with the words, 'Nigel, I need you.'"
"Very good," Roland said. Nigel folded his scrawny, but undoubtedly powerful, stainless steel arms across his chest and went still.
"Came back to pick up the broken glass," Eddie marveled. "Maybe the Tet Corporation could sell 'em. Every housewife in America would want two, one for the house and one for the yard."
"The less we're involved with science, the better," Susanna said darkly. In spite of her brief nap while leaning against the door between Fedek and New York, she looked haggard, done almost to death.
"Look where it's gotten this world."
Roland nodded to Jake, who told of his and Per Callahan's adventures in the New York of 1999, beginning with the taxi that had almost hit Oi and ending with their two-man attack on the low men and the vampires in the dining room of the Dixie Pig.